You're listening to The Bridge Metro West, located at 7 Strathmore Road in Natick, Massachusetts. For more information about The Bridge Metro West, our weekly Sunday gatherings, and other events, go to www.bridgemetrowest.com.
I do thank you for your prayers. I will be having a really good nap tomorrow morning. And everything's going to be amazing until I wake up. But it's going to be good. It's going to be good, and we're ready. I have peace-ish, and it's going to be amazing. It's been delayed several times over the past 6 to 8 months, so honestly, I'm just looking forward to my back deck and coffee, like every day for like 4 weeks. That's what I'm looking forward to. I have a goal in mind, and as I was sitting with the Lord this morning, and the squirrels that were eating the finch food, trying not to get cantankerous about that, because you're supposed to rejoice in the Lord in all things, I began to think about just, you know, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing with me? What are you doing with we? Because the we is always a little bit more important than the me. The me is as important as it fits into the we. That doesn't play well in American churchianity so much, but it is the reality of the body of Christ. And my goal isn't necessarily to teach you how to do life. I'm sure there's a lot of people that could do that better than I could. My goal is to bring you into an encounter with the living God. And maybe he'll teach you how to do life, because he could do it better than I could. To introduce you to the nature. And as much as I sort of rail against what I call charismatic magic tricks, these things that we think God will come just sort of magically do things for us, when he actually empowers us to do things. And yes, we need to pray, and there's spiritual disciplines that we need to engage in. But his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness according to our knowledge in him. A couple weeks ago, I talked a little bit about they who wait on the Lord, he will renew their strength. Well, you don't need strength renewed unless you've expended it. And so I see some people, not you, because you're all amazing here at the Bridge Metro West, but I see some people who are waiting for the Lord to renew their strength, but they haven't used it for anything. And so they're just waiting, and they're waiting, and they're waiting, and they keep feeding and eating. But the whole purpose of strength, the whole purpose of his divine power giving us everything we need for life and godliness, is to expend, to sow, to sacrifice yourself. Part of taking up your cross daily means that you give up yourself for someone, something else. That might just be greater than your mood, than your history, than your offense, than your wound, or even your joy. For me, my greatest idol is time. And if there's anything that I could put, now I intend, you know, the intent of my heart is always to plan my time so that I am most efficient with my time. And in my time, I create space, because I like space in my time. But when my time is interrupted, or my space is interrupted by a plan that was not of my own doing, I can get a little cranky. And what that shows me is that I have taken the value of my time and I put it between my face and his. That is an idol. That's what it means to not have anything between your face and his. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Any thing that blocks your vision of him. But when you come into an encounter with him, all bets are off. When you encounter his nature, he brings you into this opportune moment where change can happen. Personal growth that could take decades can happen in a moment with one, "Here I am, send me, God." But that moment comes on the other side of encountering the nature of the living God. And maybe from there you'll learn how to do life better. And then someone else can get up and preach about five keys to, I don't know, financial freedom. But one of the greatest attributes of God is his steadfast consistency. Something that Jeremy sang this morning kind of reminded me of that. I don't remember what happened this morning already. But his name, when Moses asked God, "If you're going to send me to Pharaoh, I'm not good enough, so who's sending me? I need to know the name of the one who's sending me." And in the Hebrew, it's one word. It's just be. But the word for be there in the Hebrew is in this tense that is past, present, continuous. So traditionally, we have translated that to mean I am that I am, but it's incomplete. It's I was and will be. It's I existed before you did. I exist now in the moment that you're in, and my existence goes well beyond what your mission is here in the moment. So you can trust me because I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. I'm the author and finisher of this journey that I put you on. I have plucked you out of one thing. I'm placing you in another thing, and I know that you feel a little bit uneasy inside because you know yourself, you know your heart, you know the limitations of your own gifting and your own skill, but my power is perfected in weakness, and one of the ways that I'm going to perfect that power in you is to bring other people alongside you who are strong where you're weak. And that might just begin to touch some of your insecurities, but if you lean into me and you trust me in those moments where you feel most insecure, you just might see how my power is perfected in the thing that you want to hide. And so God says, "I was and will be." Why? Because he's the faithful one. Oh, it was that new song, something about I won't fail. Well, he won't fail because he's 100% successful. He just plays the long game. He's not the God of YouTube. You don't just press play and then all of a sudden you get what you want. We're standing upon the prayers that went before us, and the generations that follow us will stand on the prayers that we sowed into this ground. And I have determined in my life that I'm willing to sow myself into something that I may never see the fruit of, but man, do I want to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Do it again in our day, God. And I will contend for that. So one word, one name to describe this God who is eternally existent. And when you come into the experience of his nature, you have this opportunity to allow him to put the seed of his presence in you. But here's what we have to realize. Not everybody that experiences God will say yes to him. And sometimes, as a lover of God, that's a bitter pill to swallow. But his people have been swallowing those pills for a long time. Not everyone who encounters his authority will say yes to his lordship. I say this often, that Jesus went through the 10,000 on the side of the mountain to get to the 120 that would remain in the upper room. Some people criticize mega churches. Some people criticize our church. Some people criticize house churches. Everybody wants to criticize everybody else because we think our way is the way, but Jesus was willing to go through the 10,000 on the side of the mountain. It was more important for them to be in a position where they could hear than it was for him to make sure that every person in that 10,000 crowd was doctrinally and theologically correct in the moment. And then the upper room happens, and there's 120. And typically in that time, they counted men. They didn't count women and children, so some scholars believe that there could have been 500. I don't know how big that upper room was, but it probably wasn't much bigger than this room. And I mean, we've had like 250 in here. It starts to get a little stinky. I'm just saying. I'm sure it's not you. But for days, they remained and they prayed because they walked with the one who, before even he was comforted into a manger, and he was named Jesus, the one who was there at the beginning and spoke light into darkness, the one who was present when the voice spoke, I was, am, will be. They walked with Jesus, the word that became flesh, the Torah scroll that manifest as a man, fully God, fully human, walking among us to show us what is possible. They walked with this God who was faithful. And because they experienced a faithfulness that was beyond all other things, they learned to be faithful. Not everyone did. For some, it's enough to have the goosebumps. For some, it's enough to mark time and show up on a Sunday morning gathering. To even feel the wind of the Spirit, to sing a nice song that makes you feel good inside, but you can be in proximity with the glory of God, but not be intimate with the heart of the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. And when you come through that gate, everything changes. So you've come to a point of decision today. Whether you're online, you're here, and we get to make these decisions all the time. Every time we feel the breath of God, every time we come into an encounter with His Spirit, will we say yes? Or will we say, hold on a minute, I'm doing something else? I convict myself with that. You don't know that. Sometimes I say things and I feel my heart begin to turn. I'm like, ooh, that one stung. A lot of times I'm on autopilot up here and I'm just going. And then, you know, I weep bitter tears. I don't know. But here's the thing. There was that song a few years ago that everybody liked to sing, I am a friend of God. It was sung by a lot of people that weren't friends of God. Because you can't be a friend of God until you've submitted to the authority of His kingliness. See, the disciples weren't friends of God until they had walked with Him 24/7 for 3 years. And then He said, you know what? I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Sometimes we're under this thought life of, or this ruse of thinking that just because we said yes to Jesus, we now have authority. Authority comes through trust. Trust comes through faithfulness. We all have access. He's made a way for us. We've just got to walk in the way. And so there's something about His nature, there's something about His name, there's something about His voice. I always think of the name of Jesus as occupying space and time. It's not a rubber stamp that we put on the end of our prayers. It's a space that we get to stand in and we get to look around and see, oh, what do we see in his name? What is it that he's about to do? What is it that he's about to pour out? What is he about to give to me even? And when you are in his name and you see what is in his name and you speak it, you pray it, you release it, then it manifests. But if we're asking for something that's outside of his name, we might be wondering why, quote unquote, he's not answering our prayers. It's because we're not having the conversation that he wants to have. And so how do we see this play out? This activation of, I'm just using that fancy prophetic word, this activation of his nature. What does that look like? One of the best examples I can think of is Luke chapter 11, where Jesus prays, the disciples are present for Jesus praying, and then at the end of that, they say, hey, would you teach us how to pray? It's not that they didn't grow up praying. It's not that they didn't grow up in synagogue. It's not that they didn't grow up with all of the rote prayers that they had learned to do and to varying degrees of faithfulness, even in their own studies as children. It's not that they had never prayed. It's just that then when they were present for the prayer of Jesus, something came alive in them. Something activated around them. And they didn't even know with certainty that they were in the presence of the King of Glory, but they just knew he's doing something that we have never seen, we've never experienced, and I have never accomplished in my life. Would you teach me how to do that? Would you teach us how to pray like you pray? So that when I pray, the atmosphere around me will come alive, and maybe it will just wake up someone else like you just woke me up. Because when God steps into a space, something comes alive. I don't care where you are. I don't care what culture you're standing in the middle of. Something comes alive. Why? Because we were made for this. It's not too hard for you. We were created to vibrate with the heartbeat of the Father. But you don't get to that place unless you walk through the gate of Jesus. And let me tell you, that's typically catastrophic to your former way of living. You guys have heard me say this a lot. I was on a tour bus 20 years ago, and the drummer of this band asked me if God was safe, and I looked at him and I said, not for you. Because I knew what he was asking. He was saying, can I still be what I am? Can I still do everything that I'm doing? And I knew some of the things that he was doing. Can I just do, is God safe for me and my current lifestyle? I said, no, he's not. And he is good. Psalm 29, 1 through 11, talks about the voice of the Lord. And I'm just going to read it passionately. Out of the English Standard Version today, it says, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. I chuckle when I read that, because like, who's gonna have peace when the voice of the Lord comes and strips a forest bare, or when the God of glory thunders, or we actually hear the voice of many waters? I don't know if you've ever been to like Niagara Falls, for example, but when you go to Niagara Falls, it's like the voice of many waters. Every frequency in our spectrum of hearing is activated. You can literally feel the motion of the water. It's not something that you just look at, it's something that permeates every aspect of your being as you draw near to the sound. Draw near to the sound. The issue is that before the fall in the garden, the one who had the voice of many waters, when he walked in the garden in the cool of the day, it was the sound of Abba. But after the fall, it became the sound of judgment. But he's still beckoning to us. He's still saying, would you draw near while I am near? And it might feel a little scary to your old way of living or your current way of thinking, but he makes all things new. He will transform you from one level of glory to another level of glory. But when you sense that voice, and it's not always a whisper, sure, a couple times he whispered, but he was just testing us. But man, he's seated on a throne in heaven right now that even in this moment is exploding into thunders and lightnings. This is my God. And when he moves, stuff blows up. And sometimes that might be a little scary. And so as things are blowing up and there's fire and glory and all kinds of sound, the psalmist ends, may the Lord bless his people with peace. Amen. We have got to step out of our Western world view of churchianity and step into kingdom living. It's exceedingly rare now that someone comes to me and talks to me about, or even messages me online. I don't check my DMs often, and I make no apologies for that. But when I do, it's exceedingly rare that someone will come to me and say, you know, well, brother, you need to do all things decently and in order. Orderly and decently and in order. Is that how that works? And when they do, it's been a while. My first question is, well, what does that look like to you? Usually the answer is, well, it doesn't matter what the answer is. And then I direct them to Revelation 4. Jesus on the throne exploding into thunders and lightnings. There's four living creatures. They're all looking different. They got multiple heads. They got eyes inside, outside. I don't even know what that looks like. I'd love to see like a really good artist rendering of that. I mean, I can't. It kind of creeps me out to picture it. But that's what I want here. And not only that, there's 24 elders. They got crowns, and they're like, hey, these are nice, but let's throw them at Jesus' feet. And then everybody's saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. It's not quiet. This is not responsive reading. The voices have to be heard over the peals of thunder and the flashes of lightning that are proceeding from his throne, because nothing created can contain the glory of God. That's why sometimes weird stuff happens when God moves. And it's interesting that, I don't want to say that. Look, it doesn't matter what culture you're in, when God drops in the room, he looks the same. I'm telling you from firsthand experience. You know, some people will say that, you know, oh, well, this manifestation is the power of suggestion, and they've hypnotized you, and or they saw it online somewhere, and so that's why they're doing that. Look, I've been in villages where they've never seen a white dude. And at the name of Jesus, bodies flying across the room. A dung floor hut at midnight. One candle. 70-year-old ladies hitting the floor in mass deliverance and salvation. Even I was a little freaked out. When God moves, things change. Always. So we have this amazing psalm. And we realize that by prophetic revelation in the Old Testament and in the book of Revelation in the New, we learn that the voice of the Lord is like the voice of many waters. We can see that in Ezekiel 43. We can see it in Revelation 1, Revelation chapter 19. And I can appreciate the couple of examples where God speaks in a whisper, but over and over and over again, he moves with a shout. We have got to step outside of our Western worldview of churchianity. And as Greta said this morning, is one of my favorite sayings, we've got to learn to be first responders. When the breath comes, will you respond? See, that's what God was doing with the prophet in the cave. First of all, the prophet was in the cave because he lost his trust in God. So when I ask somebody a question, you know, hey, how you doing? And they say, oh, I'm in the cave, brother. I'm like, well, get out. God didn't put you there. Typically, we're in a cave because at some point along the way, we walked in disobedience. And then God will come and he will test you to see if what you're really looking for is how he moved previously. Now, this is hard for me because I always want God to come and blow stuff up. Because that's me. I like things that blow up. I like, you know, fireworks. I like firearms. I like, if it blows up and makes a big loud noise, I like it. Balloons popping, a little less so. But typically that happens when I'm not looking for it, and I probably need inner healing from some traumatic balloon popping incident when I was a child. But sometimes in our maturity, in our walking out things with the Lord, and in all of our history, we get stuck in a rut looking over our shoulder, almost like Lot's wife, looking for how God moved in a previous season because we think that's what he's going to do today. And so he sends the wind, he sends the fire, he sends the earthquake, but it's not that he wasn't in it, he's just not in it. Let me rephrase that. It's not that God didn't do it. It's just not how he was going to move in this moment. Because it's the current manifestation is subservient to our relationship with him. Because he might heal someone one day by spitting on their eye. Please don't. We don't do that in part of our ministry teams here. But I'm waiting for the day something weird happens like that. And then the next day, he might just say, you know what? Your faith has made you well. Jesus School of Supernatural Ministry. I only do what I see the Father doing. I can't do anything of myself. I just do what I see him doing. So apparently one day, he picks up mud, spits on it, slaps it on a guy's face, and he's healed. And the next day, he's just like, no, your faith has made you well. I like that the second one better, personally. Whether I need healing or I'm just glad nobody decided to spit on me this morning while you guys were praying for healing. Having said that, I've had some people do some really weird things to me here in the past. I wasn't going to look at anybody. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm just, you know, it's a distant memory. So I like it when God moves in a shout. And I understand the power of the shout. I understand the gift of sound that he has put in our bellies that is designed to be released, that the enemy so wants to silence in the believers. Now, you've got to walk in wisdom too. I've told you many times in my previous vocation, you know, where I walked the halls and I shouted in tongues and I made prophetic declarations and I just decreed the word of the Lord in that place and in that space. But I didn't do that when people were around. I waited till everybody went home. We had 100 and some, you know, maybe 200 people in that particular facility, and I waited till everybody left, and then I had a Holy Ghost throwdown in that place. There's something in the sound. If God moves with a shout, maybe he's waiting for his people to do the same. So how does he move with a shout? In Psalm 47:5, it says he ascends with a shout. It says, God has ascended with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Well, not only does he ascend with a shout, he descends with a shout. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Somebody say shout. With the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. His royalty demands a shout. In Luke 10:37 through 40, it says, as soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And then some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But Jesus answered, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. Why? Why will the stones cry out? Because when the King comes, his royalty demands a response. His majesty requires motion. His beauty inspires action. His glory causes a reaction. Why? Because in that throne room experience of Revelation 4, there is sound, there is light, and there is motion around the throne. In our timeline, we would say 24/7, but in his timeline, it just is. For all eternity. And so when we're in worship, when I'm leading worship, I'm speaking, we're in ministry time, you know, someone might come up to me and say, oh, what a great service, look what God did, and I'm still waiting for the King of Glory to descend with a shout in the room where we all just fall like dead before him until he says, rise, stand up, fear not, I've got a plan for you, I've got a purpose for you, and it begins right now. And we might say, I've seen the holy, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. Did you see me driving in rush hour traffic the other day? But he has a coal on the altar for you, his power being perfected even in your weakness, to the point where we are now free to say, Hanani, here am I, send me. This is the point of decision that you're in today. So I want to reread Psalm 29, but I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation today. The God of glory thunders. Proclaim his majesty, all you mighty champions, you sons of Almighty God, giving all the glory and strength back to him. Be in awe before his majesty. Be in awe before such power and might. Come worship wonderful Yahweh, arrayed in all his splendor, bowing in worship as he appears in the beauty of holiness. Give him the honor due his name. Worship him wearing the glory garments of your holy priestly calling. The voice voice of the Lord echoes through the skies and seas. The glory God reigns as he thunders in the clouds. So powerful is his voice, so brilliant and bright. How majestic as he thunders over the great waters. His tympanic thunder topples the strongest of trees. His symphonic sound splinters the mighty forests. How now he moves Zion's mountains by the might of his voice, shaking the snowy peaks with his ear-splitting sound. The lightning fire flashes, striking as he speaks. God reveals himself when he makes the fault lines quake, shaking deserts, speaking his voice. God's mighty voice makes the deer to give birth. His thunderbolt voice lays the forest bare in his temple. All fall before him with each one shouting, glory, glory, the God of glory. Above the furious flood, the enthroned one reigns. The King God rules with eternity at his side. This is the one who gives his strength and might to his people. This is the Lord giving us his kiss of peace today. Come on, would you stand up and just give him praise this morning? He's worthy. He's worthy. Don't wait for a song. Don't wait for a sound. You are the sound. God, you are worthy. God, would you cause your voice to vibrate in this place today? Jesus, I pray in all grace and mercy, would you step into this room with the fullness of your character, releasing salvation, healing, deliverance. Oh, healing is the children's bread, oh God. Oh, come with your glory. Come with your glory. Come with your nature. Bring us to the point of decision here today, God, that we would be a people. God, I want to be at the center of a sovereign move of God that awakens, revives, renews, transforms, and reforms this region and this culture. And we want to be a people who are known to have been with God. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Yes, hey, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah, the Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah, the Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah, the Lord God Almighty reigns. And his joy, his joy, his joy is our strength today. Rise up, rise up. Winds blow. Winds blow. Winds blow. Winds blow. Holy Spirit fire. Holy Spirit fire. Holy Spirit fire. Just a little longer, just a little longer, stay in it. Just a little longer, stay in it. Look to the God of Revelation 4. Step into the place where the elders hit the floor. Thunders and lightnings proceeding from his throne, the names and the voice of God manifesting upon creation. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. The whole earth is filled with his glory, and there is a temple rising once again, the bride of Christ, the church, oh, the body with Jesus at the head, and the glory of God fills his temple. Hey. Would you shake us from the inside out now, just a little longer, Lord? Would you transform us from one level of glory? Bring us into encounter. God, encounter. Oh, God, we need to have that sense of heart to heart and face to face this morning, God. Oh, we draw near while you are near. Not just for what's happening in this room, but for what you want to do in New England, oh, God. Oh, you've done it in days past. We've read about the great awakenings. Oh, God, would you do it again in our day? But we look to you, we look to you, we look to you, we look to you. Oh, cause us to look to you. We turn our faces to you, God. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I'm not even going to pray a prayer with you this morning. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know him like this, would you just say yes to him this morning? I don't care if you're here, you're online. You could have been in church all your life. I'm talking about making him the primary authority in your life. Because he wants you to walk with him like this every morning, rising with him every evening, resting in him. The God of creation calling your name from the youngest to the oldest in this room right now. He's saying, would you come? Would you come? Would you step out of your comfort zone just a little bit? Just take that one step just a little bit. And so God, now, just even as we baptized in water here a couple weeks ago, God, would you baptize us afresh in your fire, a fresh baptism of your fire and your love today, oh God. Would you seal this time with your kiss? Would you seal this time with your fire? Would you surround us, oh God, so that as we go forth from this place, that nothing would be stolen, no little fox, no scheme of the enemy, that you would hide us in a season, in a bubble of grace, oh God, that we could stand in you, that we could rise in you, that we could find new strength in you, so that we can go out into all the world and we can spend the strength that you've given us, that we can literally be participators in the divine nature, oh God. Oh, what a great gift you've given us in this presence that you have offered us, oh God, that we could be now in this new covenant time, the ark of the presence, that you would tabernacle and dwell inside of us. I don't even have to wrap my brain around it. It's just what you do. God, would you cause us to become more aware of your presence in this moment, oh God? Take the scales off of our eyes. Soften our hearts to the new. It's new to us, but it's been in you for all eternity. The ancient paths. The God who was and is and always will be. The mystery wrapped up in Jesus, Yeshua, the Anointed One. Yeshua, the Anointed. Ruach HaKodesh, breathe your breath. Breathe your breath. Would you cause your goodness to forcefully blow over our faces this morning? Saturate us in your nature, in your word, in your nature, which is your word, and your word is your nature, God. The beauty of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord, the beauty of the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from the Bridge Metro West in Natick, Massachusetts. Paul David Guidry is the senior pastor at the Bridge. For more information about the Bridge Metro West family, our gatherings and events, visit www.bridgemetrowest.com or call us at 508-651-0277.